Lord, thank you for this healthy, happy church family. How good and pleasant it is when your people dwell together in unity. Good and pleasant for you and good and pleasant for us. And let us just continue to enjoy your favor and this good word and be blessed that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Anymore, I just find myself shaking my head so much. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Like, what? What? And got to be careful, you know, because you don't want to be like permanently aggravated. But I was on the Roku the other night and pulling up Amazon. And sometimes it'll flash, like, you know, watch this or watch that. And this show, I guess, came up. The title of the show or the series is Children Ruined Everything. And so it's got this couple and three kids. And so I don't know if it's some comedy or what it is. But it's like, you know, that it just figures, because there's some of that attitude that's out there in our day and age. We're kind of like an upside down world anymore, and so you got to almost think backwards, like right and wrong and light and darkness. Everything's kind of been twisted. And where does that thought come from? And I just kind of wryly thought as I was shaking my head, well, maybe you should have thought before you had kids. You know, how often are kids looked at as an inconvenience, and by the way, you know, having a child's the definition of motherhood. And of course, you can be a mom by influence too. It doesn't just have to be a biological connection. But how different than the way God designed things, that children are a blessing from God. And the stark contrast from that sentiment, children ruined everything, is found way back in Genesis when Rachel couldn't have children. The Lord had closed her womb for a season, and she was absolutely miserable, because through much of history, that is like the primary badge of honor for a woman. It's part of God's design, and so Rachel went to Jacob and said, "Give me children, else I die." And Jacob said, "Who am I? I'm not in the place of God." And God eventually had favor on Rachel and opened her womb, and she brought Joseph into the world. What a wonderful son to have as a firstborn. And so it's sad that things are so twisted anymore, and we want to just bless you moms and applaud you. And my mom did a great job of doing just that, but I would reinforce that and to continue to do what is one of the most important missions in life. And far from seeing children as like an interruption to life, children are kind of like a continuation, really, to life. Like, the species doesn't go on without children. And carry on, and of course, dads are part of that too, and we acknowledge that. So I want to just give a brief message today, trusting mom. And 2023, the word for the year is trust. And this title has a double meaning. There's the verbal sense that trusting our moms in terms of their love, in terms of their intentions, in terms of their wisdom. And moms, of course, now I speak ideally. I realize we're in a fallen world and we've all had imperfect moms. Some of us have had moms that were not so good and helpful. But in general, and what God has willed, mom has an absolute vested interest from the very beginning to keep those children, and she's looking out for their good and is always there for them. It reminds me of what Jesus said. And primarily the way we look at God is in more of a fatherly sense, Father and Son, Father who's in heaven. But Jesus actually used a motherly metaphor when he came to Jerusalem and his heart was broken and he wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I wished to gather you as a mother hen would her chicks, but you would not have it." And that just suggests the ideal that you can always come to your mom. Your mom is not going to turn you away. And she's there for you. And maybe this is a broad brush, but it seems like moms have more time and energy even. Like dads, for whatever reason, like they want to be fast and, you know, or go see your mother. She'll take care of that. But moms will. I mean, they'll go the extra mile. I mean, after all, they went 9 months carrying the kids. So, you know, they'll continue on going over and above the call of duty. And so that's the first meaning of the title today, the verb that we we would do well to trust in our mothers. And then secondly, is more of a descriptive sense. And this is for mom in particular, that moms, you continue to be a mom who is trusting in God with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own self-critiquing. Certainly don't let the culture critique you, because it's going to be warped. And just trust in the Lord. Now, Proverbs 20 and verse 6, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? And, of course, we can't help but to think of mom as, by and large, ideally and naturally, is like the first and foremost reliable person that was put into our lives. And the one that God created us in is a reliable connection, is a relationship that we can get a lot of value out of. And so all of us would do well to enjoy and to appreciate and to access our moms as much as we can, and to be a blessing, and also be gracious. Again, no perfect mother, no perfect person. And Jesus said, if you fathers being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and we could apply that to mothers. Mothers also are affected by sin. But that aside, to enjoy that resource and to make the most of it. Now, I want to talk about two things out of Proverbs 31. No doubt Proverbs 31 is going to get a lot of attention in various church gatherings today. But let's consider, first of all, the resource that is mom's wisdom. And at the very least, moms have more time on planet Earth than you. So they've got extra wisdom. And they want to convey that because they're looking out for your best interest. They care for you. Now, sometimes there's an age-appropriate issue. You know, when you're younger and mom gives wisdom, she insists that you take it. And then there's another time as you grow older and perhaps leave the house, moms still have wisdom, but they probably would do well to wait to be invited to give that wisdom versus just trying to push it on children. But Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9, we've got this mom that has some wisdom that her son needed. Verse 1, the words of King Lemuel. Now, this is most likely another name for Solomon, which would mean that the mother that's about to speak would be who? Bathsheba. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Now, let me paraphrase her first few questions there. Busted. Mom knows, and she's there, and she's fit to be tied. And so here we have a king, and he's probably young in his reign, Solomon's first year, if you will, or perhaps later on, and he just got a little proud, and we all know Solomon strayed in his latter years. And so mom comes on the scene, and often in these royal courts of old, you would have the king, and then you would have a special seat for his mother, and she would be called the queen mother. And so when you're reading 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you'll see that special position of honor that the king would give to his mother. And then part of that was that mom could continue to give some special insights. Maybe she's catching some blind spots that her son wasn't aware of. And so she comes in, you know, basically verbal guns ablazing. Verse 3, "Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong wine to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more." And so her correction here towards her child, and I don't want to go too deep into all of this, but basically, "My son, you know, you're taking liberties that you shouldn't be. You're being excessive, and you're being more consumption-oriented than production-oriented. And you're living for leisure. You're living for pleasure. You're becoming a hedonist." Now, it's not wrong to have a wife, but we have this in the plural here, and certainly Solomon took this political liberty, if you will, to the nth degree. And his mom sees all this excessiveness and sees that, you know, sometimes there's a thought that more is better. And as you grow and things get bigger, that's automatically better. And so he's adding all of these wives, and by that he's making political alliances by and large. But mom's seeing that that's not a healthy thing. You gaining in that resource is not actually helping you. And we know later on in Solomon's life that the Bible talks about how his wives, not that he was not culpable, but that his wives led him astray with their idolatry. And so mom is seeing this, and you're basically spreading yourself way too thin and giving yourself to all of these corrupting influences. And so what are you doing? And then the drinking part, not necessarily wrong for a king, and often kings had banquets and they had wine and such, but it's not for you to live to drink. It's not for you to be excessive and to get intoxicated. And God's people should never get intoxicated, by the way. We should always have a sober mind and keep ourselves fit and sharp for action. And, you know, there's going to be those that's basically their life. And so we see that here in verse 6. And by the way, verses 6 and 7 are not like allowance that, oh, it's okay to get drunk. She's just saying, you know, this is the type of culture that does that. People that basically have no hope and they're miserable. That's what they do. But not you, Solomon. You are not to be that way. You're not to be driven to consumption and certainly towards alcoholism and allowing your various lusts to rule you. Sin should not be ruling over you. You should be ruling over it. God has given you an anointed position. And of course, brothers and sisters, we can very easily apply this to ourselves because we're royalty, if you will. We're sons and daughters of the great king. We are kings and priests unto our God, and we're going to operate in that way in the kingdom that is to come, in the millennial kingdom and on into eternity. And so for now, we ought to be living not just for what we think we can get away with. Well, I've got license, I've got liberty, and I didn't find an exact verse in scriptures that told me not to, therefore I'm all into something that my flesh is driven towards. No, we ought to be conservative. We ought to be have self-control and keep ourselves fit. We can enjoy life, but we don't live to enjoy life. We live to enjoy God, and that will go on for all eternity. And so Solomon, come on, get it together. Mom's there basically giving him a verbal lashing. And then verse 8, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Now, if you're too busy with all of these women that are pulling you this way and that way, and you're too busy with intrigue and trying to extend your kingdom, because after all, more is better, and we want to have influence here and influence there. You're too busy doing all of these things, and you might be doing those things right, but you need to ask yourself the question, are you doing the right things? Instead, you ought to be focusing on the ministry, on the sphere of influence, on those that God has put under your influence. And so instead of being concerned about all of these issues of women, and certainly staying up late at night getting drunk, and then in the morning you're all hungover and so you can't function properly, instead, have restraint. Be responsible so that you can take care of other people. It's not about you being served. It's just like Jesus. When Jesus came, he's the only one in human history that could have lived a total consumption-driven, you know, serve me, serve me, serve me at all times, and he would have been 100% right to do so since he's God. But instead, when Jesus came, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so in like manner, those who have been privileged with position, which all of us Christians have, by the way, with an authority and an influence and the ability to be light in a dark world, we need to keep our wits about us. We need to be sharp. Why? Verse 8, so we can open our mouth for those who can't speak for themselves. We can defend the rights of those who are destitute. Verse 9, open your mouth, judge righteously, so that we have discernment. Remember early on, Solomon at least had enough wisdom to understand that he didn't have enough wisdom. So he prayed when God asked him in a night vision. And he said, give me wisdom. And God gave it to him in spades. And one of the first examples was the issue of those two women that were fighting over that baby. And he made a good call. He discerned. He could see right through the situation. And that demonstrated that he had wisdom and discernment to use. So don't let your wits get dulled. And this world will do that to you, by the way. If you just live for consumption, if you just live for pleasure, and it's all about what I can get out of a situation, and I'm not getting what I want or what I deserve, so I'm going to go out and do what I need to do. If you're living like that, then you're living like the world does. And you would do well to have the Holy Spirit today. Like this mother reproved Lemuel. You would do well to allow the Holy Spirit to say, hey, man, shape up. Get it together. You know, be ready to serve and to be a blessing, not to sit around and saying, how come I'm not getting blessed? And so that's mom's wisdom. And avail yourself of that wisdom. Now, if you don't have a mom, you say, well, I can't get that kind of wisdom out of my mom. Maybe your mom has passed, or maybe you guys have a difficult relationship. Maybe there's some division that's gone on. Then find older sisters in the Lord. Find good Christian women. Let them be mother-like in the style of Titus chapter 2, that the older women, they teach the younger how to love their husbands and how to take care of their children, and have someone to pray for, someone that's lived maybe two or three of your lives. And instead of, you know, just making a bunch of mistakes and then, you know, woe is me, go to them before that and get some wisdom that might prevent some of those issues. And so avail yourselves of mom's wisdom. Secondly, this is more to mothers directly. And so let us also consider mom's work. And here is the ultimate section that extols a mother who is diligent. She is not a hypocrite. Like in verses 8 and 9, you know, Solomon, you need to be ready to do these things and keep sharp. Don't get intoxicated by this present life. Well, here's a mom that is diligent, and she's making the most of what God has given her. She's not overextended, trying to be a busybody and go here and there and never satisfied, you know, ever seeking, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Instead, she puts her hands to a very specific plow, and she narrows in. This is what God has given me to do, and I'm going to do this with all my might. She does a few things well versus trying to do everything average or poorly. In Proverbs 31, 13 through 28, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ship of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Wow, just reading that makes me tired. She's a worker. Now, far from workaholism or not knowing how to take a Sabbath, okay, those things aside, this is an ideal picture of how God created a mother to be. She has strength. She has avid interest. She's got vested interest. And she looks very well to the sphere that God has given her. And so I want to just elicit a few things here as I glean this from this section. And no doubt there's more, but I just want to be brief. Let's think about some things here. She is industrious, and she shows initiative. And so a few verses, verse 13, she's working with willing hands. Verse 15, she's rising at night and providing food. She's thinking ahead. She's diligent about what God has given her. This is my ministry. This is my service. It is not for another person. And it's not about making excuses. It has no place for laziness or idleness. You saw that there in verse 27. She does not eat the bread of idleness. And unfortunately, in our day and age, there's a whole lot of idleness. There's a whole lot of things that people waste their time on. And by doing so, not realizing the opportunity cost, that because you're putting all your wasted time into these things go undone. And these things that go undone, they pile up. And then you look at that pile and go, oh, that's just too much. And you feel overwhelmed. And God would have in terms of this labor, moms to be working, to be serving, to be doing things little by little, to be consistent, to have that sense of industry and being proactive, and what can I do to take care of my family, and not just my family. Not only does she show initiative and is industrious, but she's also inclusive. Look at verse 20. She opens her hands to the poor, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. Because she has invested her time well and has had structure in her life. And that's another thing. There are a lot of people that they don't have structured lives. Now, of course, they say, yeah, that's easy coming from Pastor Robot, who has his set ways, and true enough, you can be excessive that way too, but it's better, in my opinion, than the alternative, where you have absolutely no structure. And so because she has some structure and there's a rhythm to life, there's a sense, a pattern, that everybody kind of understands this is the pattern, and it keeps that household going well. Now she has margin, verse 20, and she can also reach out to other people. She can be a blessing to others in the proper time. And then also, I like this about her as well, and I think all of us, of course, could get value out of this, but the best way I could put it, and there's a bunch of I's here if you're tracking. She's industrious, shows initiative, she's inclusive. And then this one, she's indifferent regarding the future. Now, normally, indifferent is like a negative term. But in this sense, it's a positive term in that she's not nervous, she's not worried. Why? Because she's been doing what she needs to do. She's responsible, and then she leaves the rest up to God. Look at verse 21 about this indifference. She is not afraid of snow for her household. Snow is coming. There's going to be a time where it's going to get cold, where there's going to be bad weather, and she has already thought about that in advance, and she has planned. You know, it's like go to the ant, you sluggard, who prepares and gathers up for the winter that's ahead. She's been ant-like and diligent, and now she's not afraid. And then this is like my favorite part in verse 25. It says, and she laughs at the time to come. She has this peace and joy about her. I've done everything I know to do, and then I just leave the rest up to God. How many of you would like to be described as somebody that in your heart, how many of you would like to experience that you have no fret, no fear, no concern, no anxiety about the future? You just kind of laugh at what's ahead. It's like, not that it's a joke, not that you're just, dismissing it, but you're just so confident because I've done what I can do. I just leave the rest to God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful experience? And so this is another wonderful quality about, not only does mom speak and give wisdom, but you look at her actions, you look at her life, and you glean these important qualities and hopefully emulate them. And then number four of these different qualities, she's instructional. Look at verse 26. And this, of course, corresponds to the first part of the message. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongues. On her tongue. And so, moms, continue to share your wisdom and insist on giving your knowledge and your experience, age appropriate when the time is right. And also do so with kindness and grace. Sometimes, again, dads can be a little rough and quick, and there's definitely value on both sides for mom and dad. But moms teach, but also have that kindness and that graciousness, and let there, even with a sharp reproof, let there be some what does the Bible say, as with salt, season your speech with grace, that it can be better taken in. And then finally, a final quality that I gleaned from this, verse 28, she's inspirational. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. And to be a mom that you inspire that, not that you're looking for that, and certainly there's going to be many years where you're not applauded, where you're not celebrated. And again, we certainly live in a culture that doesn't esteem motherhood and child rearing in the way that it should, in the way God designed it. But there's going to come a point that you shall reap. And even as you faint along the way, even as you get tired and you're so fatigued, you just don't even know how to go on. Just keep going. Put one foot in front of another, one day in front of another. Keep doing what you know to do. Don't beat yourself up when you fail. It's not if you fail, it's when you fail. Just continue to look to the Lord. Continue to be very industrious and busy. It's almost like Jesus. He was busy about his Father's business. This life would have taken him a bunch of different directions. I mean, you had people calling out for him and do this, do that. But he said, no, I'm going to be about my Father's business. Well, God has given you a business, an enterprise, if you will. And it is the greatest business. It's the institution of the family. It's the next generation. And continue to be diligent and structure your life. Have a plan. You know, if you fail to plan, then plan to fail. Have some type of plan and organization in your life and invest your time and your energy accordingly. And then leave the rest to God and be a person that's filled of joy that even the future, it's like, that's a little thing. That's a small thing. I've done what I can. I leave the rest to God. And that's just I love that section. And so today I want to take some time and pray for moms. And so why don't we stand and have all the moms and grandmothers, moms-to-be, if Courtney's still in here, and great-grandmothers, come on down. We want to pray over you moms today. You are of great value. You are a treasure. And I would commend you all to this message of trusting mom. Be a mom to the best of your ability. Be a mom that is worthy of trust. And then, as to the best of your ability, no condemnation. Again, it's not about workaholism and never taking a break. But to the best of your ability, be diligent and let your hands be busy about the business of God. And be careful about letting those hands be taken elsewhere, because this world will try to take you in other places, and then you'll do a bunch of things and won't get anything done. And so, brothers and sisters, if we could, that are out there, stretch your hands toward these moms. Lord, today we pray and we celebrate, we praise these moms that have come here today. Thank you, God, for all the value, all the fruit, all the profit that has already come for their children, their grandchildren, for other people, for some of our spiritual mothers that are influencing other Christians, other girls around the neighborhood that might not even have a mom. They're filling a position, Lord, and so let them continue in that. Protect them. Give them your wisdom. Let them do what they need to do with all of their heart and leave the rest to you. And so I thank you for them, Lord. Protect them from evil. Guard their hearts and minds. And let this just be a day that restores their souls, refreshes them, and reinforces some truths, perhaps even brings some needed reproof. We commit that and we commit them to you this day, all for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, moms.